right, folks, we're back. Second hour of the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun with my special guest, John Hanke. And, John, I want to let you know I sent you a Skype message there during the break. I'd like to get an answer to that, if you would, at some point. Okay, so... Now, do you want me to dance around with these different temporary jobs of Omar Mateen, or would you rather go into Able Danger right now, and we'll get back to it?
Let's do Able Danger.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's see. The Muhammad Atta, right, was supposedly the mastermind, and I'm telling you what, you have the same parallel with Lee Harvey Oswald. People, and I'm going to deal with this very, very quickly, but the first day of the Warren Commission, the Attorney General of the state of Texas, you heard of Texas, calls up the Warren Commission and says Oswald was working for the FBI. Oswald was an asset. And they set him up to take the fall in the Kennedy assassination. And when I say they, I don't mean the FBI, I mean the CIA. I mean the killers. It turns out I don't think the highest position holders in the CIA were involved in the Kennedy assassination or knew very much about it. But the people who were involved in the CIA who did do the assassination used an FBI asset to take the fall. Muhammad Atta was apparently involved in Able Danger. There's a lot of evidence to suggest that. And it comes from the congressional record, some of it. Anyway, what the intelligence community does is, you know, first of all, they have this system set up to catch bad guys, right? And, yes. You know, you set up this agency and you set up this system and you set up this monitoring approach and you set up that monitoring approach and then you send out a bunch of agents, right? People go out there fishing, trying to find somebody who will come up to them and say, hey, you want to commit terrorism? They have these various approaches. And when they want, and Muhammad Atta was involved in that. And so Muhammad Atta is out there, and it's a natural, right? And Oswald as well. They're given directions, go out and do this so that we can see whether our people pick it up. So go out and make this threat to blow up the federal building or go out and make this threat to assassinate the president. And it's in the Warren Commission, this very, very reputable lawyer was brought to the Carousel Club, and he thought it was a setup, and he sat there and listened to Lee Harvey Oswald and Jack Ruby speak loudly about committing an assassination in Dallas. I believe it was of John Connolly, but it may have been of John Kennedy. And, you know, it's in the Warren Commission, and nobody pays any attention to it, and I think one of the reasons they don't pay attention to it is because they don't know what to do with it anyway. There's a guy who Putin went home. Putin went to his hometown. This is a couple of weeks ago. And some terrorist blew up a train. He's wearing a backpack, and he blows up a train. Well, wait a minute. Why didn't he take the backpack off and get off the train? Because he didn't know there was a bomb in the backpack, because he was a U.S. intelligence asset, and they blew him up, I think, in order to threaten Putin anyway. And the same thing in Britain, when they blew up the trains in London. It's my observation that there's evidence showing that the people who were involved, one, were assets of British intelligence, and two, didn't know that their backpacks had bombs in them. And so there's all of this evidence that I'm about to go through that says that Omar Mateen was an asset, and it's my belief, you know, that Omar Mateen was hypnotized and that the shooting at the Pulse nightclub was the result of post-hypnotic suggestion. Mm-hmm. With Jesse Ventura did a thing on mind control.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
I don't know how anybody, and he brings in the best guys in the country are in there with him, right? The best mind control, into my way of thinking, experts are in there supervising this test that he presents to you, showing that not, it's like one in 10, maybe one in 20 members of the population are subject to being hypnotized. And if you are subject to being hypnotized, they can get anybody to do anything under hypnosis. That's my, I consider rather expert. I've done a lot of research into it. And then that's my observation from the research that I have done anyhow. So it's my belief that Muhammad Atta was an asset and that they used him. And this is my evidence for thinking that he was an asset. And the first one is all of his contact and involvement with the police, that he went to the police academy, he graduated, he got out and got a job in law enforcement, and then he went and worked for the highest level security firm in the world, Wackenhut. And Comey doesn't mention any of that, because for Comey it's a secret. Well, why is it a secret, Comey? What is it that we're hiding here? Because it's not like he worked for the FBI. Who is it that Comey is protecting? Comey is protecting his lie that he's a leading member of, is to foist this fraud upon the American people, the continuing 9/11 thing about how Islamic terrorism is a threat. Secondly, Omar Mateen went to Mecca twice. Now, it's my observation. I can't say that I'm expert on this point, but I'm a history teacher and I'm very familiar. I've never heard of anybody, and I've known, let's say, 10 different people who went to Mecca. I've never heard of anybody going to Mecca twice. Why would you go to Mecca two times? You're only required to go once. Why would you go twice? And my answer to that question is that if you were a police asset, they would send you to Mecca and ask you to, you know, say provocative things and give all the signs that you possibly could that you might perhaps be a candidate for recruitment into a terrorist organization, and wait for somebody to try to recruit you into that terrorist organization. And, you know, to me, that makes very, very good sense. I don't have any objection. I think that sounds like good police work to me. But it's the only explanation I have for why he, Omar Mateen, or anybody else would go to Mecca twice. And then the third thing is this business that you were mentioning about his encounter with the sheriff's department. They move Omar around from job to job, which is handy when his side job is working for the U.S. intelligence services. And if they want to send him to Mecca or any place else, that's not a big problem for these guys. Oh, and by the way, and while we're talking about going to Mecca, no one said that Omar Mateen was devout. I mean, among other things, he was gay. Two, he was a drinker. He went to the mosque the way, you know, some people go to church on Sunday. He did that, but none of the witnesses who knew him from the mosque thought that he was especially devout. In any case, Omar then gets moved into a job working at the courthouse. He gets moved here and there as Wackenhut or G4S decides that they need him. They move him to the courthouse, and he's on duty at the courthouse, and he's talking to a sheriff on duty at the courthouse. And according to the sheriff, and I don't mean the sheriff who was threatened, I mean the sheriff, the head sheriff, told the Orlando Sentinel, I believe, but it's in the video and it's cited, you can see where it's from, said that Omar told this sheriff that he was going to have Al-Qaeda kill him and his family. Now, that's kind of a big deal. Threatening the life of a sheriff and his family, and to threaten to use an Islamic terrorist organization to do it. In addition to which, I mean, Omar went to the mosque with a guy who eventually got recruited by Al-Qaeda, with whom Omar was familiar. So, you know, if we're trying to bring a case against this guy, if I'm the federal government trying to bring a case against this guy, I can tie him to Al-Qaeda and to Islamic terror, if that's what I'm trying to do, but certainly it isn't what they were trying to do. Anyway, they didn't prosecute him, which is rather stunning. I mean, given what the atmosphere is in this country about people making threats and so on, they didn't even demote him. And in fact, you could argue that they promoted him because, on the one hand, he had a job standing around the courthouse, which I don't imagine is particularly enjoyable. And from there, after this incident at the courthouse, he got moved to PGA Village, which is, you know, there's a reason homes there cost, you know, $1 million, and that's because it's a very, very nice place, where he interacts with all of these old ladies who just love him to death. But so, to me, that says, well, you have to answer the question, why didn't he get prosecuted? And my answer to that question is the same as my answer to why did he go to Mecca twice, and my same answer is my answer to the question, why didn't Comey see fit to talk about any of these really major facts showing Omar's police involvement from the police end? And it's because he was an asset, and they were suppressing the fact that he was an asset. Yeah. And then I would point out that using assets to carry out, or to take the blame at least, and let's say for the moment that nobody was killed or injured even at the Pulse nightclub, but well, Omar, I think, I don't know if we can agree that Omar died, but in any case, he took an enormous hit. His wife is now, and child, he's estranged from his wife and child. It's a terrible thing for them to have to go through, even if Omar was whisked to the other side of the world. That this is consistent with what they did with Muhammad Atta, and it's with what they did with Oswald, which is the
yeah. Let me interject something here because
sure, go ahead. Sorry, I'm done anyway. Yeah. That was wrapping
okay. Well, no, when you're bringing all this up, you know, there's a couple points that I want to bring into play. Is that when first of all, when James Comey spoke to the American people on a couple of different occasions, it was pretty much lies by omission. Comey already knew this. He knew that Mateen had threatened the sheriff. He knew that he had admittedly had ties to Al-Qaeda, yet he didn't tell the American. He spun it, and I don't want to say totally swept it under the rug, but the way he put it out to the American people, it's like, well, they opened the investigation, but they closed it because they didn't see anything there, and he wasn't a threat. But on the hypnosis thing a minute, we have to go back and remember that if anybody out there thinks that this is a little bit beyond the norm, no. Okay, I can give you examples of Sirhan Sirhan, who doesn't recall shooting JFK, not JFK, RFK. Okay, John Hinckley, who was the stooge for the Reagan attempted assassination, which, by the way, his father and George H.W. Bush are really good friends, and his father's a major donor to George H.W. Bush, but also John Chapman, who shot shot Lennon and then just stood there with a book copy of Catcher in the Rye. So this all ties in. But the scary part of this is that this has been going on. If we go back to Robert Kennedy, that was back 50 years ago. Okay? So this has been going on for a long, 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 long time. And it's only now, because researchers like you, John, and, you know, dummies like me that like to read, you know, and other people out there, that this is starting to make its way very, very slowly but meticulously into the mainstream. And I believe that the powers that be, the military industrial complex, is starting to be aware that this is not the big secret anymore that it used to be. You want to interject on that?
Well, I don't know if I can. I really, really appreciate what you said. And you know, on my best day, that's what I like to think, is that, you know, the invention of the printing press was a big deal. And at first, the guys who were printing stuff, I think, were, revolutionaries, like Thomas Paine. And Thomas Paine had a brother who was even more radical than him. But, you know, all of the Enlightenment figures from France are writing and saying all of these radical things, and they didn't have a lot of competition. And I think that eventually the ruling elite figured out, oh, geez, you know, we can't let, when people go down to the bookstore, they can't be looking at 1,000 books, 900 of which are indictments of us and what we're doing. They have to be looking at 10,000 books or 100,000 books or 400,000 books, 900 of which are indictments of what we're doing. So that for a while, the internet belonged to people like us, and there was much more, I think, pretty solid conspiracy theories out there. Conspiracy theories. 9/11 is a conspiracy theory. Well, you know, David Ray Griffin is one of the most respected professors at Claremont College, which is one of the top colleges in the United States. Stephen Jones is one of the leading physicists in the world. And you have those two figures saying those buildings were brought down by explosives, that those buildings could not possibly have been brought down by jet fuel, and the story that's being told by the U.S. government is a lie. And you have 3,000 architects and engineers who have put their careers on the line saying exactly the same thing, that those buildings could not have been brought down by jet fuel fires. Well, 10 years ago, people like that, I think, dominated the internet, and now the internet is being flooded with all sorts of garbage. Anyway.
No, that's a good point that you make, but, you know, even expounding on that, regarding this whole thing, which is nothing new, this has been going on for a long time. This is their modus operandi, and there's a motive for their madness, but I can, you know, cite you other people too. I mean, some of these other shootings, the San Bernardino, it makes no sense. This guy was married and had a kid. They didn't do it, I don't think.
The main witness, the best witness, this was a woman. I want to say that she's a supervisor because she talks like someone who has years of college education and then is used to standing up in a pressure situation and expressing complicated ideas, got interviewed on the evening news, right? And I can't tell you ABC, NBC, or CBS, but she's interviewed on the evening news, and she says three big white guys in military gear got out of that truck and went into the building. And the guy says, are you sure it was three? Because the cops say it was two. And she says, I can count to three, you know. It's, yes, it was three. She was very, very emphatic. And there was another witness off the street who saw them. He didn't have as good an angle as she did. But those are the two witnesses. And, in fact, the first news reports, based on the police reports, were that there were three people involved. The first police reports were that there were three shooters, because what were they based on? They were based upon the two eyewitnesses. There are two eyewitnesses. Nobody says that there were two shooters, and certainly nobody says. They also both say that they were three big white guys. None of them say that one of them was a diminutive. Remember, right, the guy's wife weighs under 100 pounds. How is she going to be mistaken for someone who's 6'3" and 240 pounds? It ain't going to happen, and it didn't happen. I shouldn't have interrupted you, but
no,
yes,
that's okay.
San Bernardino is one in a continuing line. The thing that I want to make sure that we talk about is why? What's going on?
Well, that's my point. That's what I was getting to. But, you know, we can go to the Chechen Sarnoff brothers in the Boston bombing. They had CIA connections. I believe it was their uncle.
In spades.
Yeah, Fort Hood shooter was an operative of the intelligence services. He was a major, for crying out loud. They find these particular people, and then they set them up to do their you know, evil deed, and then they turn around and blame it on the guy. Now, I believe they probably most likely took Omar Mateen out because, you know, Omar Mateen could talk. You know, they don't want to get rid of anybody who's going to be able to go out and say, look what happened to Oswald. Oswald came down the hall and says, I didn't do it, and Ruby shot him in the stomach after they'd already had a conversation that the attorney had overseen. So this is clandestine stuff that goes on time and time and time and time again. But my point is, there's a motive for this, okay, and it goes back to the fixer, the choker, James Comey. He knows. He was put in that position and appointed there deliberately. And he also has to have ties to, John, if you'll agree with me, with the CIA, with the NSA. And he's a gatekeeper. He's covering this up to put a nice smiley face and a cherry on a turd, because the American people, he wants them to think that they are an integral agency. However, these people, I believe, and this is my own opinion, I could be wrong here, I believe these people have been compromised. I believe that they have been bought off with a significant amount of money and made promises to. Otherwise, why would they be complicit in this, on this ongoing thing for so long? And let me make one other point here. And that is, when I was growing up, and even when I was in my early 20s and 30s, I thought that the CIA just operated overseas and they were over there just protecting us from whatever possibility that we would have of being attacked. I find out later in life when I wake up that that's not even close to the case, okay? Anything you want to add to that?
Yes. You have no idea.
Should I strap myself in here? Go ahead.
Yes.
We're going to go
yes,
to a break
I'll try
in a
to
minute.
Be brief.
Go ahead.
Let me do this quickly, but oh my God. I'm not a fan of Donald Trump. But when he fired Comey, my question would have been, well, why the hell didn't Obama fire him? Right? That if you look hard enough, you'll find the letter that was written by this guy Rosenstein. He's an assistant attorney general. And it's just fierce in flaying Comey for his misdeeds, in saying anything about the Hillary case. Comey should not, under any circumstances, have opened his mouth whatsoever, and instead he gets up and does it. He grandstands, and, you know, here I am.
Yeah. All
like
right.
I said, I ain't no fan of Trump, but grandstand
hold
is...
Hold that thought. We'll be back in three.
Hey there. Quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, They understand exactly what it means to provide top-quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're going to get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
It's time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I Can Get To. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, with my special guest, John Hanke. Now, this is a short segment, and we're going to come up on the bottom of the hour break. So, folks, after the bottom of the hour, I will open up the phone lines at 800-313-9443. But do me a favor, and please keep your questions on topic for either me or my guest, John. I don't want to get off into any other things tonight. I'll get off into other things tomorrow night. But for tonight, we're going to center on this Comey, Omar Mateen, the false flag terrorism stuff. Anyway, we're talking about Rosenstein and his letter to Comey. Go ahead, John.
Well, it seemed to me that we had shifted a little bit, and I was saying, that I was a fan of. I thought that in firing Comey, that Trump was, you know, said nothing that wasn't true, and did something that Obama should be ashamed of himself for not having done. On the one hand, another thing, you know, like I said, I am not a fan of Donald Trump, to say the least. Ever since he chose Pence, who is one of the most disgusting warmongers in recent memory, I've been very, very down on him. But anyhow, the Russians are the good guys. The Russians are supporting the democratically elected and immensely popular president of Syria. The Russians in Ukraine supported the democratically elected president of Ukraine, and the U.S. supplied weapons to the guys who lost the election, and many of whom were wearing swastikas, right? Many of whom are serious swastika-wearing Nazis, and the U.S. supported those guys who lost the election, and the Russians are supporting the guys who won the election. At the end of World War II, this guy, Averell Harriman, is such a dark figure, and most people haven't heard of him, and the ones who have heard of him think that he was a liberal friend of Kennedy's. Averell Harriman was the U.S. ambassador to Russia, and when Roosevelt died, Harriman got on a plane and flew back and told Truman that the Russians were violating their agreements that they had made with Roosevelt. And there's some guy, big-time college professor has just written a book and with all the documents showing that Roosevelt had agreed that the Russians should supervise the eastern countries who had all put together armies and invaded Russia and killed 20 million Russians in World War II. The Russian troops were all over the eastern bloc. The U.S. didn't have any troops. We weren't in a position, and Stalin told Roosevelt, we're not going to allow these countries to elect Nazis. That's not going to happen. We're not going to allow it. And Roosevelt said, fine, and that was the Potsdam Agreement. But Harriman comes flying back and tells Truman that he doesn't have to tell him because Truman doesn't know. He says the Russians are in violation of the agreements that we made at Potsdam, and that's the basis of the Cold War. The entire Cold War depicting the Russians as being the bad guys is garbage. It's baloney, and you can see that, as I was started off saying, and represented today, is the Russians are so terrible. Well, wait a minute. They're supporting the democratically elected side in Syria. They were supporting the democratically elected side in Ukraine. Where do they come off being the bad guys? Well, and then this thing today, that Trump met with the Russian ambassador and discussed ISIS. And the Washington Post is screaming like, well, wait a minute, you're the president of the United States, and you are, when Obama was president, the U.S. was cooperating with Russia and trying to destroy ISIS. How can you say that there's something wrong about the president of the United States discussing with the Russian ambassador details of their common enemy, what I thought was completely and widely understood as their common enemy. Anyway, I'm done.
Well, I'm amazed because you've said two things that I agree with. I agree with you on Russia and Vladimir Putin. Okay, it's because it seems to me like he is renowned as a world leader, and he's focusing more on his people and the stability in the world, in the Ukraine, in Syria, and so forth. Also, Mike Pence. Now, you're not the only person that I heard this from. My son lives in Indiana, and he said that Governor Pence, when he was governor, is the worst governor they've ever had. Everybody there hated him. So, yes, I agree with you on those two points. So, but back, and we're kind of, you know, delving off topic here, but back to Trump for a moment. Okay, so yeah, they're making a big deal about his meeting with Lavrov, whereas I'd be more concerned about him meeting with Henry Kissinger for another number of reasons.
No kidding.
Yeah, so, there we go. There's three. What's a hat trick, John? So anyway, you know, bottom line is getting back to this whole thing, and I wanted to kind of, you know, give the audience an overview of this for those of you who are the new listeners tuning in of what this is really all about. Because to me, Comey was the gatekeeper, he was the fixer, but he's in collusion with the military-industrial complex, and I think all of these people are either compromised or bought off, and they're playing the game, being made promises for a better future and a greater good at the end of all of this, to combine this into a one-world government. That's what it looks like to me. That's, you know...
I don't think that it's one world government. See, these guys, the banks have run the world for the last 200 years.
Hold on, it's break time.
The endless corruption running rampant throughout our government. Independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep. A catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
This is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report, 12 to 3, Monday to Friday. Call-ins are welcome to the show. You can order at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
All right, folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, with my special guest, John Hanke. John, you were talking about for the last 200 years now, and I have to tell you, first of all, the phone lines are open, folks, 800-313-9443. I already have a caller on the line. Jim, hold on there, because John was in the middle of making a comment, and when he gets through, there's a couple other points I want to make here, but before I make those points, I'll go to you, Jim, so hold on. Yeah, John, the last 200 years, go ahead, continue.
What were we talking about the last, huh?
I don't know. You were talking.
I need a better hint.
You said, I think the last two.
Well, let me say this, that I saw a Mad Magazine cartoon 50 years ago, in which, probably 55 years ago.
And
there's this family.
Yeah, go ahead.
There's this family at the movies, and you're looking at them from the rear, and so they're silhouetted. And on the movie screen, you see the cavalry is riding along and waving the flag and shooting at the Indians. And the kids are jumping up and down yelling, yeah, kill the dirty Redskins. And the parents are, one says to the other, boy, it's amazing how Hollywood movies can twist your perspective and your sentiments. And then you see from the opposite side so that you can see who they are. And it's a Native American family, right? These are Indians, and the kids are, oh, yeah, kill the dirty Redskins, and the parents are sitting there grimacing. But I think that that's how we have been raised, is we have been taught all our lives. I've been taught all my life that the Russians are the bad guys. The Russians lost 20 million people in World War II. The United States lost 200,000. It's like we weren't in it. That's 1%. Right? We lost 1% of what the Russians lost. It was the Russians who destroyed Hitler. And, you know, if you love Hitler, I got not too awfully much to say about you. To say to you, actually, I do. We can do a show on Hitler. Hitler was an agent of German Army intelligence. There's an article. If you Google this, if people in your audience happen to be interested, get out your pencil. I was Hitler's boss. Put that in quotation marks and Google it. In 1942, the New York Times published an article written by the guy, the captain, Captain Mayer of German Army intelligence, who recruited Hitler, who taught him racism. The Jewish Encyclopedia says that there's no evidence of Hitler showing any anti-Semitism until he was directed by German Army intelligence to write this particular letter at the orders of Captain Mayer. They taught him anti-Semitism, they taught him some economics, and they sent him to organize the Nazi Party. And I'll quit there.
Okay.
At the direction of the biggest bankers in Germany. Says
okay,
Captain
Mayer. Yes, that's another show, John. I'm trying to mold our way back into the topic, but let's take a break from that. Let's go to Jim in upstate New York. Jim, you're on with Michael and John. How you doing, buddy?
Yes, sir. Hey, how you doing, gentlemen? I truly, truly appreciate the program. I think you're a great new host for RBN Network there. You bring a lot of common sense and logic into the dialogue here.
The check's in the mail, Jim. The check's in the mail, Jim.
There you go.
Go ahead.
No, you know what it is? Common sense ain't so common no more, so it's quite enjoyable to hear, you know, you guys speaking. But there's one thing I would love to throw at you two guys that is that most people don't recognize the following day after Comey was fired, guess who was sitting in the White House with Mr. Trump, Kissinger. And he brought the, you know, press in there, and everybody was sitting there with their mouth down to the ground. And I was just curious what your comment on that is. You know, here's the high priestess, you know, of the New World Order. I think that was a message being sent.
You want to take that, John, or you want me to comment on it?
Well, my head is kind of somewhere else.
Okay.
I'll make a comment quickly, which is that I believe you can document that Steve Bannon and the people who promoted Trump did so for the same reason that the Nazis promoted Hitler. What people probably don't know is that Hitler attacked the bankers and attacked the billionaires of Germany, and when he got in, he handed the government over to these people. Well, that's Trump. And I think that you can find Bannon saying things to the effect that we're going to get a guy who can stand up and tell this lie to the American people so that he can get elected, and then when he gets in, we're going to cut taxes for the billionaires, and we're going to hand, you know, the swamp over to the biggest alligators around. And, you know, just do what he's been doing. Trump didn't run for president saying he was going to destroy the EPA and remove all protections for the water and the air, did he? I missed it if he did. He was going to defend the little guys from the big guys. That's what I heard.
Yeah. All right. Well, my comment, Jim, is that according to Trump, you know, Henry Kissinger and him are nothing more than old friends. They go back a long ways. That's all I can say. All I can say is when I see the two together, you know, my sphincter muscle puckers. But other than that, I have no comment.
Yes, okay. Yes. I really, really think the holy hell. And I thought it was just a shot across the bow. That, hey, listen, you know, he's in our camp. You know, don't worry about it. The New World Order's in control. And, you know, he is the high priestess of the New World Order.
All right. Well, thanks for the call, Jim. I'm going to let you go, Jim. Thank you much. I appreciate your input. John, I'm going to take one more here so I don't keep him holding.
Let me throw this in quickly. I think that what you can count on, he wasn't talking to Kissinger about whether he should fire Comey. He was talking to Kissinger about who he should get to replace him.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, the name was floating around about Trey Gowdy, and I saw the other day four different names come up. None of them were Trey Gowdy. So, and I don't know any of the people. I don't remember the names off the top of my head. But Trey Gowdy wasn't on the list, so there you go. Anyway, let's take another call. Let's go to Joel in Wisconsin. Joel, you're on with Michael and John. Go ahead. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I've been listening, and I can't help but wonder when there's two investigators like John and Mike who investigate the same like, let's say, the Pulse nightclub, and your goals are to get to the truth, I can't see, I can't understand how you can be so diabolically opposed when it comes to an important aspect of it as to whether anybody got killed there or not. What's John's best evidence to prove to Mike that somebody got killed there?
Well, I think I mentioned I sent an investigator to Charleston. I didn't send an investigator to Orlando. And to me, that's not a critical issue, whether people got killed there or not. To me, it's clearly a fraud. The fact that they are portraying Omar Mateen as being a radical Islamist, to me, that's the more important fraud than whether people were killed and they're lying or they weren't and they're lying about it. To me, that is not nearly as important an issue. And I hope that it's a fraud because I hate to think of 50 innocent people getting murdered in that fashion. But, you know, I haven't focused my attention on trying to answer that question. If I were going to, the first thing I would do is either get on a plane myself and go to Orlando or hire an investigator to go there and, you know, do some real digging and interview some witnesses. You know, I think that Michael makes an interesting case for undermining the credibility of a lot of the witnesses and the doctors. So their credibility is undermined, but, you know, that doesn't mean that they are necessarily lying, but they might be. I'm persuaded they might be lying, but like I said, I don't see it as the crux.
Well, then why do you believe that somebody did get killed there?
I don't know that I do believe that somebody did. I'm not willing to say. I'm absolutely, you know, I'm not going to bet the farm that somebody got killed there or not. I will bet the farm that Omar Mateen is not a radical Islamist and that everything that we have been told about him being a radical Islamist is a lie. That one I'll go, you know, the whole 99 yards on and bet the farm.
Well, would you agree with this? If, and now there's lots of indication that perhaps nobody did get killed there. If nobody did get killed there, wouldn't every single thing about it be a lie, including what you think you know about Omar?
Well, let me interject something here, okay? And let's look at the motive, because John had brought up an interesting point in his documentary. You know, these people in the LGBTQ community, the only place they really have to commune and be comfortable in their social life is not in a church, like most people, or, you know, not in their only private groups, because they're ostracized and vilified in a lot of places that they go, and that's just, they accept that. But they can go to their own communities, and they can have camaraderie with their fellow LGBTQ or whatever it is. And it could be, and I'm not saying it is or it isn't, Joel, but it could be that this place was selected to gain the maximum amount of outrage that could be gathered by that particular community, just like 9/11 outraged America. Would you agree with that, John?
Well, that's a really good question, and it's different from the question that's being posed by the caller. And I'm not sure that I wouldn't. Well, but let me say what I was going to say to the caller, because he asked this question about how do you know what to believe. At least that's what I thought that I heard. And I was having that same discussion with my wife this afternoon, and I raised with her. I mean, I live in Los Angeles, and there are unfortunately a lot of homeless people in Los Angeles. But if you walk up to a homeless person and hand them a sandwich, they won't eat it. If they're digging through the garbage and they find a sandwich, they will eat it. And if you think about that for a minute, maybe you can immediately conclude as to why that is. But homeless people are afraid of being victimized. They're afraid that somebody's going to hand them a sandwich with something bad in it. And so they won't take it if it's handed to them. But if they find it just, you know, in a garbage can casually thrown away, then they have more trust in its reliability. And I'm the same way, I think, with news, that if it's on the front page, the chances that it's true are greatly reduced. If it's on page 32, the chances that it is true are considerably improved. And if it's in the Orlando Sentinel instead of in the LA Times or the Washington Post or the New York Times, and it's on page 32, and it's never been, and this is a fact that has never been reported, right? It's substantiated. There's a witness, and he's named, and he's quoted, and it's from, you know, all of the reporters on all of these papers, most of the reporters on all of these papers, I think, are hardworking professionals who try to do a good job. It's the editors who then get out their scissors and put in what they want to put in and take out what they want to take out. But so that I think that if you find something that's out of the way and off the beaten path, the chances that it is true is much more likely.
Okay, let me interject on that. And that's the third thing I agree with you about tonight. It isn't the reporters, it's the editors. Although I will say that there's a number of them out there that are suspect. But Joel, sure, in answer to your question, and I want to make this clear, is that I don't know if 50 people died there or if one person died there or if Omar Mateen died there or not. And the reason that I don't, and the reason that I probably could speak for John, is because in order to find that out, you literally have to go there and start digging. Okay. The only thing I can look at is the alleged outside crime scene with no blood, with actors running around and witnesses that don't have any body language of trauma or whatever. So the only, I have to leave this without spending money to go there and saying the whole thing stinks to high heaven. Is that sufficient for you, Joel?
Yes, and I agree with that. When that is evidence. When you see false, when you can find fault with their official story, that is evidence that it's a phony story, isn't it?
Exactly. And also, I'll add this, with what I saw from watching John's very, very good video, actually an excellent video, and the research that I've done on it, I would have to lean towards the fact that they did indeed take Mateen out, because they wouldn't want him speaking. Just like they did with Oswald. So, I mean, that's what I'd conclude. Go ahead.
And would you both agree on this, that the number of incidents that happen all have one common link, and that is that guns and assault weapons are bad?
Oh, big time. Absolutely. That and psychological evaluations as well. John, your input on it?
Well, that's a very, very important question, and it's really central, and it gets to be huge. There are, I don't know if you guys are familiar, but there's, during the first Arab-Israeli war, there was an American warship, the USS Liberty, that was mm-hmm. fired upon, and the Israelis tried to argue that it was the Egyptians that had fired upon that ship. So there was a false flag, right, that one country is blaming another country for an attack. And nothing happened. The U.S. did not then go and bomb Egypt. And there are people who say, oh, well, Lyndon Johnson was in on it. They blame Lyndon Johnson. And my response to that is that on 9/11, there's no evidence connecting Iraq or Afghanistan, for that matter, with the 9/11 attacks, and yet we went to war against those two countries and inflicted incredible devastation against those two countries in spite of the lack of any evidence. So that my take is, and you know, this isn't an absolute rule, but I think it's a general rule, and it's always worth, I think, considering and making an evaluation. You have to look at what happens as a result. Right, and my presumption is that the result that occurs is the desired result, that what they got is what they wanted to get, because they make sure that they have all their ducks in order. They make sure that the people who are in a position to execute their desires are ready, prepared. Oh, with the Gulf of Tonkin. The Gulf of Tonkin resolution had already been written. Most people, I think, agree that the Patriot Act had been, to the greatest extent, already written. So they've already got their paperwork done, and the attack hasn't even occurred yet. And you haven't seen, I haven't seen anybody introduce any significant anti-gun legislation. I think that's a load of crap. I think that that's something that's put out, frankly, by the perpetrators, and that they have something else in mind. And that in with the case of Omar Mateen, and you know, you take any incident and you can discuss what it was that their goal was, but I believe that their goal was the promotion of the boogeyman of radical Islam.
But John, you don't think that goes part and parcel with, you know, the mindset of grabbing our guns with all of this?
No. Nobody's grabbing my guns. I don't know about you.
Well, just because the legislation didn't get passed the House and the Senate doesn't mean it wasn't presented. If you haven't If you haven't
did it get
for
presented?
It, you can say that there wasn't there, but if you
did
have
it get presented?
Whoa.
Absolutely. It's written up right now waiting. They have some more. Yes, that you weren't you paying attention when the liberals and like Dianne Feinstein and Schumer and Barbara Boxer, they come out and start talking about that stuff and they give the excuse to push it is of these gun incidents like what happened in Orlando or Sandy Hook or that church shooting. They bring them up and they come out with gun legislation.
Unfortunately,
it hasn't gotten passed, but they're trying.
The legislation that I'm familiar with suggested that people who have been demonstrated to have mental problems shouldn't be able to get guns.
Well, that didn't get passed.
John, did you miss the Dianne Feinstein quote many years ago about Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in, if she was in control of it? The left has been pushing for gun confiscation for a long time. Go ahead.
I did miss that.
When you try to do a psychological observation on someone, who gets to be the judge? I think just about everybody in Washington has a mental problem. And there's a record of that.
I totally agree. And in Florida, down there where the Pulse nightclub shooting took place, they have what is called the Baker Act, where they can give you a psychological evaluation and force you into a mental facility for 3 days just for hugging a tree, So I think it's part and parcel. Now, John and I may not agree on that, okay? But in this respect, I do agree with Joel, is this, yes, they're pushing to get our guns. Anything else you want to add before I let you go, Joel? Thanks a lot for the call. I appreciate it, John. There's a couple more things I want to throw into the mix before we're getting short on time here. Okay, so I wanted to bring up this one other thing regarding Comey and the fixer, the choker. All right, but the FBI report regarding Mateen being a follower of the Timbuktu Seminary. All right, we didn't get to that. Marcus Robinson, the founder of the seminary. Okay, they tried to paint him as Mateen was a follower. You want to expound on that a little bit?
Well, immediately after the shooting, there were all of these news reports that Omar Mateen was the follower of the Timbuktu Seminary and that the leader of the Timbuktu Seminary was an exponent of violent attacks like the one at the Pulse nightclub. And the leader of the Timbuktu Seminary hired a lawyer and he was getting death threats, understandably. Right, if this report had been true, it would be understandable that he was getting death threats, and I would be sympathetic with the relatives of the victims who were considering shooting him if it had been true. But it's in the video, and I would very much encourage you to watch it. This guy that is the head of the Timbuktu Seminary is just, I don't know what Michael thought, but I thought he was just really, he seemed like a very warm and really intelligent and nice human being. And one of the things he pointed out was that if any of this had been true, he would have been arrested and nobody from Timbuktu had been arrested. So that clearly it was a lie. And he hired a lawyer and threatened Fox and said, look, if you don't let us on, we're going to sue you for defamation. And so Fox let them on and then fired the woman who presented this really, really interesting
Greta Van Susteren. Is that the reason? That's the reason they let Greta Van Susteren go, isn't it?
Oh, I think that and other pieces that she did that were reasonable and directed. And you can find people who will disagree with me, but I think that Islamic terrorism is a fraud. I think that I find it hard to believe that there wouldn't be some circumstance of an Islamic terrorist attack, but I'm not familiar with one. Paris, the one witness to the Paris attacks, says that it was the guys from San Bernardino, and he doesn't say it was the guys from San Bernardino. He describes three large military guys, and that's none of the people, none of the bodies that they pulled out of the theater where all of the main killing that went on in Paris took place. Were three large white military guys. That's not them. So, like I said, I'm at a loss to point to any incident example of Islamic terrorism and believe that it's genuine.
Okay.
For all I know, there isn't.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I did a couple shows here not too long ago about that very issue, and that is a show that you and I are going to have to do, because, you know, I had said that, yeah, and going into Sharia law and all that, but it could be that they're being used as patsies, not to mention the fact or the possibility that they're creating this via mercenaries that they hire to parade as radical Islamic extremists, because 40 years ago, we never saw this issue at all in this country. But we're running out of time. We can't go there tonight. So bottom line is, who did it? In order to comprehend terror in general, quoting you, all terror is a continuation of the fraud of 9/11. Radical Islamic terror is the fear or the boogeyman. And attacks on civilians, the false flags, always serve the purposes and the goals of the national security industrial complex, and it's the men who sell the weapons to the military who are the ones stirring the pot, the only ones with the motive, and that's profit. Mateen could have attacked the government or the police academy or the courthouse where he worked or the offices of employer, but he attacked his friends. The goal? Incite fear and hatred of Islam. Closing thoughts on that, John?
Well, that says it pretty good, I think.
Well, that's your words.
yeah. I was having a good day when I wrote that, I think. Well, and you didn't include, but geez, Trump at the Republican convention brings on Rudy Giuliani, and I think I included that. Maybe it was in a different video. They're just screaming about Islamic terror, Islamic terror, Islamic terror, Islamic terror, and they're attacking Obama for refusing to say, for refusing to call it Islamic terror. And, you know, I'm on Putin's side when it comes to Syria, and I'm on Putin's side when it comes to Ukraine, and I'm on Obama's side when it comes to refusing to call these atrocities carried out by the national security state through their assets in the intelligence community, for him refusing to call that Islamic terror. It's not Islamic terror. It is terrorism, but it's national security state terrorism, not Islamic terrorism.
And that is exactly why I have to bring you up in the future to go and to drill down on this and get into more depth on this, because, you know, as I watched your video and as I listened to some of the things you're saying, I said, you know what? Maybe you've got a point, okay? And maybe they are indeed using these people as patsies. Now, I don't agree with Sharia law being imposed in the United States, because it seems to be completely bipolar to Christianity. However, I have in the past never had a problem with a Muslim up until they're stirring the pot on all this radical extremist terrorism stuff. Okay, and this is a state-sponsored thing. This isn't a societal thing, or at least it hasn't been. But anyway, we're out of time, John. Thank you so much for coming on. It was a pleasure interviewing you, and I will have you up again.
All right. I'm very, very grateful for the opportunity, Michael. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, and I'll be talking soon. All right, folks, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. I'll be back tomorrow night. I got a number of shows in the mix to go with. Not sure which one I'm going to do. You're just going to have to tune in to find out. Bye for now.
I paid a price, and I'll keep paying. I'm not ready to make nice. I'm not ready to back down. I'm still mad as hell, and I don't have time to go round and round and round. It's too late to make it right. I probably wouldn't if I could, 'cause I'm mad as hell. Can't bring myself to do what it is you think I should.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue, and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed, and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.